Well, let's go to Proverbs 31 tonight. We're going to read 2 verses 10 and 11. And we will continue on here in these Sunday nights on the subject of marriage. But I believe it would be something that would help everybody, single or married. And for those of you visiting with us, if it's we have some of these lessons turn into preaching type messages. Others are more teaching. I don't know how this one tonight will come out. Probably a little bit more teachy than preachy, but this biblical principle, no matter how it comes out, if it's the Word of God, it'll be helpful, all right? So let's stand together, please, and we're looking at verses 10 and 11. Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11. We're reading now those two verses. Would you join me on the 11th verse, okay? So we're in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, verse 10. And who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And dear Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'll please open our eyes tonight to understand more clearly a way that we could strengthen our marriage. For these young people, Lord, who are not yet married, I pray that they will glean and gather some eternal truth that will help them to have a marriage that will be a blessing. Lord, one that you, the way you want it to be. No greater relationship exists on earth than a relationship between a man and his wife, a woman and her husband. So, Lord, help us tonight. And I pray that you'll build us. We'll thank you for it. Bless the singing and the song and the message to follow is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Sing the song right before the message that I found out this trio would sing. I got two fathers of the girls sitting here in the auditorium tonight, and I wised up real quick. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. Amen. So we put them up tonight and had them sing in their place. I want to speak tonight on building trust in marriage. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And this goes both ways. This is not just from talking from the perspective of the a trustworthy wife tonight. This is speaking from the perspective of a trustworthy husband as well. And let's talk about building trust in marriage. Dear Father, help me tonight, please, be a blessing and encouragement to your people. Thank you so much for our Bibles. and what you've given us. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight and to be a blessing. Thank you for the love of Jesus that took him to Calvary. God, I pray when we think about that, we think about his death, that it will remind us about what Brother Booth preached about on Wednesday night, that wonderful sermon, how we have to die to self. And Lord, for a marriage to be what it ought to be, you're going to have to die to self. And Lord, help us to build trust in our marriages and help me tonight in Jesus' name and amen. If the order of things in the Bible is important, and it is, then the first quality of this virtuous woman that is mentioned is the most important quality. All right? If the order of things in the Bible is important, and it is. It says in verse number 10 about this virtuous woman that her price is far above rubies. So the value of the virtuous woman is great. It's tremendous. Then starting in verse 11, we have the qualities that make her valuable. And I think all the things that are written in this chapter make her this valuable, virtuous woman. The first one mentioned, the first quality mentioned is trust. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Her husband trusts her. And not just a little bit, but safely. An adverb meaning confidently, boldly, securely. Her trust is not, or his trust, is not, not ebbing and flowing. It's solid, it's consistent, it's stable, it's confident, it is secure, it's bold, okay? There's a strong, safe trust, trustworthiness about this woman. Now, I believe these qualifications are listed in the order that they are important to God. I believe being trustworthy is important to God. I'm talking about you and me being trustworthy. I think that's important to God. And I believe also these qualifications are listed in the order that they are important to her husband. Being trustworthy is the most important quality for the husband. If his wife is trustworthy to him, that's at the very top. I think I can say amen to that. I believe with all of my heart that all the things I'm glad for in my wife, I am most thankful that I can trust her. Safely trust her. Boldly, confidently, securely trust her. And so, we can safely say that the most important quality to the wife is that her husband be trustworthy. So, can you trust your spouse? And can your spouse trust you? That's the question tonight. Can you trust your spouse, and can your spouse trust you? If you had to take a quick analysis and evaluation of the trust factor in your marriage relationship, and you had to put it on a scale between 1 and 10, 1 being not trustworthy and 10 being ultimately trustworthy, what level is the trust factor in your marriage? If you had to nail it, if you had to say, well, I believe it's, what would it be? Don't say it out loud, okay? It might be, I don't know if it would be embarrassing or not, but don't say it out loud. What would it be? I believe from working with married couples and being married myself now for 30 years by the grace of God, I believe with all my heart that trust is the most important factor in any relationship. Any relationship. And marriages that are healthy and vibrant enjoy a strong trust factor. And the opposite is true as well. Marriages that are in trouble, marriages that are hurting, don't enjoy any level of trust. Husband doesn't trust his wife. The wife doesn't trust her husband. And those marriages suffer in many, many ways. Now, I think I can safely say tonight, folks, that the person in the Bible in whom trust is most verbalized is the Lord. What I'm saying is, more often than any other place, more often than anybody else in the Bible, you'll find the writers of the Word of God saying, I trust in the Lord. No other book has more statements about trusting the Lord than the book of Psalms. No other man says more about trusting the Lord than David does. He says in chapter 7, verse number 1, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. And then he's off and running over and over and over again. David expresses his secure and confident and bold trust in the Lord. And truly, friend, we all feel very safe trusting in the Lord. And you know why? You know, there are some reasons that make it that way. There are some reasons. And we're going to look at some of those in just a moment. We get into the body of the message. There are some reasons why we trust the Lord. Now let me say this. It is certain that we cannot be the Lord. It's certain that we can't be what He is. There's none like Him. But it is also certain that we can learn from His character, we can learn from who He is, and we can attempt to emulate Him in areas where we can. And believe it or not, you and I can emulate the Lord in the areas that make Him trustworthy. Now, we can't be Him. But we can look at who He is and what He is and learn from it and head that direction. And I promise you, you'll understand it tonight when we get into this. If every husband and every wife in this room would work at making themselves trustworthy, that's what we always want. We always want to fix the other person. It begins with me. All right? So if every husband, every wife in this room would just decide to take what we learned tonight about the Lord's trustworthiness, what makes Him trustworthy, and then work in our... Maybe we can take that thing, if it's at a low level, if that scale of that trust factor is below 5, maybe over a few months or a couple years of time, you can bump that thing up to a 7 or an 8. Or maybe it's at a 10. And you say tonight in your heart, I have complete trust in my husband. Have complete trust in my wife. It's at 10. You'll look at the things that we're going to talk about tonight and you'll say, you know what? That's true about my husband. That's true about my wife. And that's one reason it's at an 8 or a 9 and 10. And we want to maintain that. The quality that contributes more to trust than any other quality. I'll say it again. The quality that contributes more to trust than any other quality is truth. Truthfulness. That one quality right there contributes more to trust, being able to trust somebody, than any other quality. The quality of truthfulness. And don't you agree? We find it easy to trust in the Lord because God is truth. He's truthful. So it's easy to trust in the Lord. Now, we can be truthful, and being truthful will cause our spouse to trust us. Let me tell you three ways that the Lord is truthful, three ways that you and I can emulate His truthfulness and thereby grow the trustworthiness of our spouse in us. Number one, we need to talk about verbal truth. Verbal truth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9 simply says this, lie not one to another. If we just got that one phrase out of the Bible down in our lives, we'd be pretty happy folks. If every husband and wife got that phrase down in their life, that marriage would go a long ways toward a 10. Lie not one to another. This is vitally important in every relationship. But folks, what relationship can it be more important in than the relationship of marriage? Tell the truth. Tell the truth to your spouse. Don't lie to anybody, but above all, don't lie to your spouse. Lying is sin. Lying is wrong. And the truth of the matter is, liars eventually get caught. I've said before in this pulpit more than once, say it again in the future, I'm sure if God gives me sanity and leads me to say things, but the easiest way to live in life is to live honestly. Live honestly. It's the easiest way to live in life. I'll guarantee you there are people in this room who've worn themselves out in the last 6 to 8 months because you've lived a lie. And you've had to work like crazy to cover it up. When you live a lie, you're always looking over your shoulder. You live a lie, you got to always cover your tracks. Lie. It doesn't work, folks. The easiest way to live in life is just to live honestly. It's a ton of work to be a liar. A ton of work to be a liar. And eventually you can't keep up and you get caught. Now look, lying is wrong even if you don't get caught. And by the way, you're lying. You're caught as soon as you lie. Because God doesn't miss anything. We can buffalo parents. You can buffalo your spouse for a while. Nobody's going to buffalo God. So you're caught as soon as you lie. Lying is wrong, and if you don't get caught by people on earth, but eventually you will get caught. And I want to make a bold statement tonight. If you want to kick your marriage in the gut, lie to your spouse and get caught. But I want to tell you something. A husband, a man, doesn't like to be lied to by anybody, but especially his wife. And a woman doesn't like to be lied to by anybody, but especially her husband. So if you want to give your marriage a good kick in the gut, lie to each other, lie to your spouse until you eventually, look folks, nobody covers up a lie forever. Boy, it gets quiet here on Sunday nights. Man, it just gets so stiff and quiet. We need help, folks. We need help. Let's just be honest. We all need help. Anytime you put a man and a woman together in a relationship and they grew up in different families, different cultures, it's going to be trouble. What degree of trouble you have, that's what you want to do, reduce the degree. So just breathe deep. Everybody take a breath. It gets so stiff in here. People are afraid to move. Like if you move, everybody's going to look at you and say, hey, he's a liar. She's a liar. Just relax. I don't know what to do with these things, but just try to get it. What I'm saying, I know it's heavy, but it's truthful. You don't want to get in the habit of lying to your spouse. That's horrible. Don't lie to your spouse. You want to verbally tell the truth. This is why we trust in the Lord. The Lord tells the truth. Amen. Whether men don't, but the Lord does. Yeah. By the way, for you children and teenagers who are not married yet, and you think this is not for you, as you children grow older, you will want dad and mom to trust you. The best way to develop some level of trust in your parents, your parents having some level of trust in you, the greatest way you can build that is tell the truth. Tell the truth. Don't lie to your parents. You want them to trust you. You want them to trust you. You want them to trust you. You lie and get caught. All that trust gone. You lied to your dad. You lied to your mom. And you're not going to build trust if you don't tell the truth. When you get a job and you have a boss, tell the truth. The boss is going to have confidence and trust in the worker who tells the truth. I'll tell you what, folks. I don't care what it is on any level, in any relationship, lying to somebody is quite a slap in their face. And to lie to your spouse has to be the most violent slap of all. Doesn't it? Verbal truth. Tell the truth, okay? In your marriage relationship, lie not one to another. Ephesians 4, wherefore putting away lying. It's a put it away. Be done with it. You're saved. You got a new nature. You're born again, child of God. It's not compatible with being born again to be a liar. Put it away. So there's verbal truth. Number two, in a marriage relationship, there's not only verbal truth, there is behavioral truth. Behavioral truth. Now, behavioral truth is different from verbal truth. Verbal truth is telling the truth about your behavior or anything else. It's past tense. What did you do? Well, I did this and I did that, did that. Where did you go? Well, I went here and went this. Well, who did you talk to? Well, I talked to this one, talked to that one. Well, what did they say? Well, I did this. What did your boss say? Well, he said this, he said that. Well, what did the coworker say? Verbal truth is past tense, telling the truth about what has happened. Now, watch me. Behavioral truth is following up on what you say. It's future tense. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Keep your word. Can I talk to you about the Lord a minute? 1 Kings 17. Don't turn there. 1 Kings 17, you got the drought going on in the nation of Israel. Elijah has already told Ahab it ain't going to rain or have any dew until I say. And God comes and He says, okay, Elijah, I want you to get down a little place there and you'll find a brook. The name of the brook is Cherith. Told him right where to go. He said, you go to that brook, I'll feed you, I'll water you, I'll take care of you. He went there. Did God do what He said He was going to do? One day Elijah wakes up and the brook is dried up. There's no water. And God speaks to him and He says, I want you to go down to Zidon and get the city of Zarephath. And down there you're going to find a widow lady at the gate gathering up some sticks. You go down there, introduce yourself to her, and she's going to sustain you. I'll sustain you through her there. Did God do what He said He was going to do? He said, you go there and I'll take care of you. And how many times can we find that in the Bible? God talking about something future tense and saying, you go there, be this way, I'll take care of you, I'll do this. Every time we keep our word, we help the trust factor. Every time we break our word, we hurt the trust factor. Are you listening? Keep your word. Tell the truth and keep your word. A husband promises to take his wife out on a certain evening. Maybe he tells her 10 days in advance or 2 weeks in advance. Or a week and says on Monday, honey, on Friday night, we're going to spend the evening together and we'll take you out. You'll be thinking about your favorite restaurant, or maybe the husband has one picked out for her. So the wife looks forward to it for several days. And then for some lame reason, the husband calls from work and says, oh, I can't do it. Something's come up and, the guys want to play golf or the guys want to go hunting or I've been invited to do this. And the guy invited me to go fishing. And whatever we told the wife we were going to do, we don't do for some lame reason. A wife promises to spend the allotted amount at the store. The husband says, I need you to spend this much money this week at the store. And so the husband comes home from work to find out that his wife spent $65 more than she was supposed to on something frivolous. Before he left the house, she said, okay, no problem, that much money, I can, not a problem. When he comes home, she hands him the debit receipts, or she says, I had to write a check, extra check, $65. Now look, I understand things happen, and every husband and wife should be prepared for that. Things come up at work, I understand that. Sometimes things break at the house, they have to be replaced. It's more money than what the wife thought. I understand all that. I told you before how shocked I was 15 months ago when groceries went up, and I don't spend any time in the grocery store, and I bought two apples and a bell pepper, and it was $11 or $9. I said, what? Two apples and a bell pepper, $9? $3 each? I couldn't believe it. They must have shipped them in from Nepal. I don't know where they came from. It was unbelievable. So I understand things happen like that. But a consistent behavior pattern that includes not keeping your word will destroy the trust factor. If it happens over and over and over again for lame reasons, inexcusable reasons, it's going to destroy the trust factor in the marriage relationship. The wife calls and asks you to stop for a couple of things at the store. And so, fellas, we're at work on the job. No problem, honey. What do you need? Oh, I need this. I need that. Get a little something this. If you just pick up three or four things for me, really, no problem. I can do that, fellas. You know what? If you say you're going to do it, you better get you a 3x5 card. You better get you a note in your car. You better write it down. Stop at the store. Do something right then to make yourself a note, to remind yourself to stop at the store. It's not in your normal pattern of the day to stop at the grocery store. But if you say you will, you better do it. Oh, I'm going to find some other lesson on Sunday night that's far more valuable to me. I know this is too little for some of you. That's the problem. Little things become big things. Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Husband leaves for work, thinks to himself, oh man, I was going to turn the AC up because it's, in fact, I was going to turn the AC off. It's a nice day today, and we don't need to run the air conditioning and save the electricity and cost ComEd some money, amen, and take away some money from ComEd's pockets. And the husband calls the house, says, honey, I forgot to turn the AC off. Would you please turn the air conditioner off for me and open up the windows? We don't need the air. Oh, no problem. And you're doing dishes or something. You got the diaper to change and the baby cries. And you forget the husband comes home from work and the AC's going. And he gets a little testy. Well, I don't know why he has to get so testy. Well, you told him you're going to turn it off. You make yourself a note. Was it important to you? God has a funny way of testing us preachers. My wife told me today, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to have a little extra money because I ran out at the store the day and I said, a couple things. I didn't think I was going to have to get them, but I'm going to have to get them before we go to Arkansas. I said, no problem. So I said, that's fine. So I told her before I went, she was getting ready for church tonight when I was leaving. I said, and I gave her a kiss like I always do and said, I'll see you there. I said, I'll put your money on the island. Now I'm upstairs. By the time I get downstairs, I forgot. Zip, zip, it's gone. Huh? I get in the car, come to church, I'm thinking about the service, excited about this morning, and just rejoicing, having a good time, and saw the things for the boys coming home from overseas and was enjoying that. Hit the church parking lot. And I got this, this is already written in my notes. All this is already written. If you promise to do something, you better do it. One of two things. I either got to do it or I got to cut this out of my sermon. So, if I cut it out, it'd be too short. You'd be used to something short. I can't cut it out. So, but no, I got on the phone. I called my daughter and called the house and said, look, look in the drawer. There should be some. I'm not going to tell which drawer because some of you might go there. Amen. So I'm going to say, look in the drawer. There's some money there. Take it and put it on the island for your mom to get what she needs tonight at the store. I told her I was going to do it. You say, that is such a small little thing. Little foxes spoil the vine. Oh, he told me he was going to turn the cell phone off and he didn't. So while we're laughing, turn it off. Oh, he told me he was going to leave the money on the island, and he did it. And the husband pulls in the driveway, and the windows are open, and the air conditioning is off. And by the way, when you're living week to week, saving the $3 or $4 from not running the air conditioner all day adds up to a lot over the course of a month or a year. So the husband pulls in the drive, and he sees the windows open and the air conditioner's off. Oh, she told me she'd turn it off. She did. Now you tell me what that does. That builds trust. It also says some other things, like, you know, my husband's kind of important to me. My wife's kind of important to me. But it builds trust. It builds, the Lord is trustworthy. Elijah, go down there at the brook, chariot. Look, I'm going to take care of you there. Go there. He went there, God did it, took care of him. Did what he said he's going to do. Move to Zarephath. Find the widow down there. I'll take care of you through. I'm talking about behavioral truth. There is verbal truth and there is behavioral truth. Do what you say. Let me say, you kids, you get driving age and your dad, his dad cannot run to the store. The kids want to drive the cars. I wanted to drive a car when I was a kid, didn't you? And the kids want to drive the car, and they want to drive by themselves. And so you say, okay, you can have the cars, run to youth activity. When the youth activity is over, you call me, come straight home. come home with an ice cream cone in your hand. Where'd you get that? Well, I stopped by Dairy Queen. Well, you didn't say you were going to stop by Dairy Queen. Well, it was on the way, Dad. It was right by, right, just a one turn off, and I stopped there. Not a big deal. It is a big deal. You do what you say. You keep your word. You come straight home, Dad's going to have some trust in you. You donkey around and goof around and come home 20 minutes after you're supposed to, and you didn't come straight home, and don't, then you're surprised while Dad says, next time you want to take the car out, Dad says, no, I don't think so. It's called trust. It's the golden factor in every relationship. It's critical in marriage. We're talking about verbal truth, past tense. This is what I did. This is what I said. This is who I talked to and said this and thought this and you did this. And behavioral truth, that's future tense. Honey, I'm going to do this. Sweetheart, I'm going to do this. And I'll do this for you, do this for you. If you could hear how many times I have heard the man say she doesn't do what she said she would do. If you've heard how many, and you could hear how many times I've heard the woman say he doesn't do what he said he's going to do. Then there's a lack of trust. Behavioral trust. Behavioral truth builds trust. Do what you say you're going to do. There's verbal truth. There's behavioral truth. And if I could put this third one this way, it's what I want to call being truth. Being truth. In a marriage relationship, Malachi 3:6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." In other words, the Lord is not one person today and somebody else tomorrow and somebody else the next day. He is who He is. Be who you are. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, look. To be one way at home, and then to come to church and be somebody else, causes a spouse to waver in their trust. Now, I understand at home, you're always going to let your hair down in some ways when you wouldn't out in public, in a public gathering at a church service like this. I understand that, folks. But I am talking about very profound behavioral, if you will, patterns at home and then coming to church and acting this way. When at home, it's... And the spouse is going, "Hey, man, get in the car! Come on, I told you we're leaving at 6:10. Not 6:12, 6:10. Get one in the world, get what? The next time, I'm just going to leave you at home." Hello, how you doing? Good to see you tonight. To be it one way at home and another way in public, church or someplace like that, causes a spouse's trust to waver. Here's a young man. He's not here anymore. He's a young man. We're working with him. We're trying to help him with his attitude, trying to help him with his decisions about his future. He's talking to me. He's talking to Brother Caleb. He's talking to Jason. Brother Jason, he's not a teenager in school. He's out of high school. He's a young man struggling with some things in his life. And he does not trust us. He does not trust our advice. He does not trust our counsel. And one day, he unloads on Brother Caleb. And not at Brother Caleb, but he unloads on Brother Caleb. "I am sick of the hypocrisy at my house. My parents hate Pastor Angel. They come to this church and they smile at him and shake his hand and they talk nice. And then as soon as they get in the car and at home, they tear him to pieces. Sick of it." What are you going to say to that? He left his home. Look, his trust factor in his parents was destroyed. He lost complete trust in his parents. And the truth of the matter is, friend, they destroyed their... They don't know it. Maybe they do know it. But they destroyed their trust in each other as well. Because let me tell you what. If a husband watches his wife be one way at home and another way at church, when he gets in his car and goes to work, he's going to have to be suspicious. And if a wife watches her husband be one way at home and another way at work or church or someplace out in public, his wife becomes suspicious of him. You know, people who trust each other aren't suspicious. You listening tonight? Be truthful. Be truthful. Don't come to church. Look, you say, well, that's all right. I'll just come to church and be grouchy. Why don't you reverse it? Why don't you get happy and take what you are in church at home? Be kind at home. Amen. Don't bring the garbage here. Brother Griffin will be greeting people next Sunday morning. How you doing? Horrible. Pastor said be the same way here that I am at home. It's horrible. I think you understand what I'm talking about tonight, friend. Be at church what you are at home. Be at home what you are at church. As far as your character and so forth and so on. Be the truth. Now listen to me, folks. Talk the truth, behave the truth, and be the truth. The way to talk the truth and behave the truth and be the truth, the only way to do it is to allow the Spirit of God to control us completely. John 14, 17, 15, 26, and 16, 13, three verses, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. Do you understand that truth is against our nature? Our nature is one of falsehood and lying and deception and conniving and sneakiness. That is our nature, to be truthful in our talk and truthful in our behavior and to be truthful as far as who we are. It's not something that I can do in my own power and not something you can do in your own power. It must happen under the control of the Holy Ghost of God. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, walking in His control, His leadership, His way, I will talk the truth, I will behave the truth, I will be the truth. Because He's the Spirit of what? Truth. So why don't you make your spouse a promise? Why don't you make your spouse a promise? Honey, I promise to talk, behave, and be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And it will be with God's help, or it won't be at all. So where are you on that scale tonight? If you had to do a quick mental analysis and evaluation of the trust factor in your marriage relationship from the perspective of the husband, from the perspective of the wife, where you sit tonight, 1 to 10, 1's horrible, 10's great, where'd you land? Huh? If you landed on the low end, friend, I'll promise you, this may not be the only contributing factor, but it may be one, and it may be the most important contributing factor. Your husband, your wife may not trust you because you're just not honest. You talk lies, you behave lies, and you live a lie. And if you landed over here at 8, 9, or 10, there are other contributing factors to the trust in your relationship, but I'll promise you, this is a huge one. If you're over here at 8, 9, and 10, it's because by God's grace, you've learned to talk truthfully and behave truthfully and be truthful. And your wife or husband watches that day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out. And the heart of your spouse doth safely trust in you. Huh? I can't tell you how critical this is. Just let me say, after 30 years of ministry, if you even know how many times I've heard the words, I don't trust her. I don't trust him. Huh? And to build that takes time. Lots and lots and lots of time. I sat with a man after church this morning. A man is not a member of our church, but a man who was saved and baptized here some time ago. And he filed for a divorce, and I just begged him not to do it. Please don't. Give God an opportunity. He just said, Pastor Angel, he said, I can't trust her. I don't trust her. I can't trust her. I don't trust her. My heart just fell. If you're sitting with your husband or wife tonight, and there's some level of trust in your relationship, from 5 upwards, 5 to 7 to 9 to 10, man, protect that. You make sure that you maintain that with all of your heart. Get in the Holy Ghost, walk in the Spirit, be directed by the Spirit of truth, and keep the trust factor strong. If you've got a low trust factor, why don't you ask God to help you build it? You know what? About 6 months from now, you could move that thing from a 4 to a 6. It'd make a great difference in your relationship. That's all right. Don't look that way. You shouldn't have that in church. That's fine, Brother Carlos. You help yourself. Y'all can just get stiff. You're too important. Yeah, I say amen, hallelujah. If a couple can take it from 4 to 6 in 6 months, it'll help your relationship. If you keep working at it, go from 6 to 7, you'll be a happy bunch. You can learn and build this trust factor. Talk truthfully, behave truthfully, be truthful. All right? Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight.